Hey there, and welcome to another episode of the Love Offering Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Adams, and today's guests are Dave and Ann Wilson. They are on the show chatting about The Art of Marriage, a transformative marriage resource designed to help you explore new levels of intimacy, communication, and connection with your spouse. Because every marriage has its strengths and its stresses. There's not one that can't be improved, fine-tuned, made stronger, or even overhauled if needed. Whether you're a newlywed or have been married for decades, Family Life's Art of Marriage is your path to a stronger, more beautiful masterpiece of God's handiwork. Well, hello, Dave and Ann. Welcome to the Love Offering Podcast. I'm so happy to have you both. So we are talking about marriage today. And you all, in 6 seasons of the Love Offering Podcast, I have never had a couple on to talk about marriage. I can't believe it. As much as we talk about love and relationships, this is a first for us on the Love Offering. So I'm thrilled to have you both.
Thanks.
So you all are the co-founders of Kensington Church, a national multi-campus church. So take us back to the beginning of your church planting experience, or it wasn't even a church plant. I'd love to hear more about that.
Yeah, I mean, Ann's laughing because it was quite the adventure. 34 years ago, 40 people. And a couple buddies had a dream to reach sort of unchurched people, that people didn't go to church. And, we launched in a little middle school. In fact, there's a interesting story that took place in the parking lot of that middle school with our marriage. You can ask about later, but, yeah, long story short, God blessed it. It just blew up pretty quick. We were 1,000 people in several months, and then 10,000 people, and it just kept going. And
well, and the way I remember it too is when we started, we had a son that was 3 and a son that was 1, and maybe they were 4 and 2. But anyway, all I remember is we were in a dark, deep valley in our marriage.
And I thought it was great. I didn't even know anything was wrong with our marriage.
It was awful. And that's how we ended up writing our first book, Vertical Marriage. But it was horrible. And yet, I think sometimes it's a reminder that we're all in a spiritual battle. And our marriages are on the 50-yard line.
Yeah.
Like, our marriages matter. And I don't think we should be surprised necessarily at the battle that takes place. I didn't think it was a battle. I thought it was Dave's fault. That's what I thought. And it was probably a little bit of all of that. It was my fault, probably even more.
Yeah, all I wanted to do is talk about how great the church was. And all of a sudden, here we are talking about how bad our marriage was. So I guess that's where we're going today.
Well, I'd love to. So I found out that I'm a Kentucky girl, and Anna heard you went to a Kentucky school. And so I started to ask you all before we hit record, but I'd love to hear it now so everybody can hear. How did you two first meet, and when did he propose? And I want to hear all the beginning of the marriage story.
Yeah. Well, that's funny because we met right before I went to UK. I shouldn't say that. We knew each other growing up. We had known each other. Dave's 3 years older, and I didn't like him very much because I thought he was very conceited and arrogant.
And I was.
But my dad was his baseball coach. My other brothers both knew him, played sports with him. And neither one of us really grew up in a Christ-centered home. But I had given my life to Jesus in high school. And then somebody told me that Dave Wilson had given his life to Jesus. And this is when I was a senior in high school. And Dave was a junior in college at Ball State University in Indiana. And I didn't even believe him. There's no way, because he had such a bad reputation. But then I ended up talking to him, realizing, oh, this is a real thing. He's serious about that. And so really, it was right probably like a month before I went to UK. I was working a summer job, and I was praying actually during this job, saying, God, it feels like I'm just not really all in my walk with you. I'm on the fence. And it's so frustrating. I feel worse being on the fence, not being all in. So, Lord, I'm going to give you my everything in my life, my future. I'll go anywhere. I'll do anything. And it's so interesting that at the end of the prayer, because I had talked to Dave just a little bit a few months prior to this, but I knew he was going to get married to some girl. I had been dating a guy. But I also knew, like, I bet he could connect me to a discipler, to a mentor, to somebody that's on fire for Jesus, because I thought he's on fire. So at the end of that prayer, I prayed, and if you could just bump me into Dave Wilson, that he could connect me to a mentor, that would be amazing, God, because I need somebody to train me, to help me, to help to grow me. And so Dave has his side of that story.
I mean, it's a long story, so I'll give you the cliff notes. But the same day she was at her Whirlpool factory job, surrendering her life to Jesus and praying to bump into me, I didn't know it, but on the other side of Findlay, Ohio, is where we're from, I got on my knees in my bedroom and I surrendered my life to Christ. I was playing the game, and I was just, her dad barred me from dating her. He knew I was a wild man. My dad was a partying, drunk, affair, divorced family. And I was becoming my dad. And I really sort of vowed I'd never become him. And I was doing the same thing in college. I was the big man on campus, the quarterback, the whole thing. Long story short, I discovered Jesus was what I was searching for my whole life. I get on my knees in my bedroom and I say, I'm all in. I'll go. I'll do whatever you want me to do. And I don't know a Christian in this city, because I didn't grow up really going to church. I was never in a youth group. I was never in a Bible study. I had seen Ann at a basketball game during Christmas break 3 or 4 months earlier, and I've said, she's on fire, so God bumped me into her. She can connect me to guys and a church. And again, you won't believe this, but the next day I'm driving to work with my buddy. We're painting houses, and he convinces me to stop at the high school and say hi to our high school football coach before we go paint my grandma's house. And when we walk out of the building, right in front of me is Ann playing tennis with her mom on the tennis courts. And God literally bumped us into each other. And we decided to play tennis the next morning. And we never hit a tennis ball. And we were married 9 months later and went into full-time ministry on day one of our marriage.
But the thing is, Rachel, because that, like, that's not the typical way we generally meet people. It felt so miraculous. And we really did fall head over heels in love with each other. We went on staff with Crew. We're like, we're going to give our lives to Jesus. We're going to be missionaries. We're going to be all in. But we had this thought, because of the way we met, we're not going to struggle. Like, this is going to be amazing, because we love each other more. We love Jesus more than anybody has in the world. We're so young, you know, but not realizing, we're still going to battle. And so I think that took us by surprise. It was hard.
Oh, that's such a good story. That's like movie worthy or novel worthy, I think. Just really, really romantic. And I'm just thinking about my own children someday. I have a quarterback and, you know, I have a daughter, and I'm just thinking about just how beautiful and how I pray that they find a really godly spouse. But you're right. Just because we are godly people doesn't mean that everything is going to be easy when we have a relationship. And so fast forward a little bit, you all now have 3 grown sons and 3 daughters-in-law and 6 grandchildren, which is just beautiful, the legacy now that you are leaving. And so how do you encourage your own children in their marriages with things that you've learned in yours?
It's a good question.
I mean, they've watched, you know, as little boys, they've watched us. I mean, they were toddlers when Ann said to me, I've lost my feelings for you, which is chapter 1 and 2 of our book. But so they don't remember it as little boys, but we almost lost our marriage, and Jesus really in many ways saved it, because we knew better. I mean, I was teaching, leading the church. I was a Detroit Lions chaplain, so I was on the road with the Lions and losing football games. Didn't say winning football games, losing football games. Now they're winning, but God saved our marriage. And so they grew up watching a mom and dad who sort of rebuilt from scratch how to do marriage God's way, which number one, vertical marriage means go vertical. You're going to find life in Christ, not your spouse. And we tend to think we're going to find life in our spouse. In fact, that's usually why we marry them. We think they're the one. They're going to fill all our needs and meet all our needs. And then when they don't, we think we married the wrong person. And we always say, you didn't marry the wrong person. You're looking in the wrong place. You got to find life in Christ. And then you come back to your marriage and you're giving now rather than taking. And so I think in some ways they've watched that. And so now they're three men. You know, two of my three sons are dads, you know, and we've got grandkids. And so they've had to live out not what we modeled perfectly, but what we tried to show them is, man, you go vertical, find life in Christ, and then you work on this daily.
I think one of the things they saw too was like date night was big for us. And part of that is because of almost losing our marriage. We always say that we speak at the Weekend Remember Marriage Conference getaways. We've been doing that for about 35 years, but we always say every single marriage drifts toward isolation. We all do it because the culture pulls at us, our kids, our schedule, our jobs, everything pulls at us. And so there's just a natural drift. And if we aren't intentional, we'll just keep drifting apart. And it's why like people like, I don't even love you. I don't even know you. It's because we're drifting. That's natural. We all do that. And so we've been intentional about taking date nights. We've been intentional. I think one of the things that honestly has helped us the most is we teach like Bible study stuff on marriage. That's like, I don't think anybody else necessarily has gained that much when we were younger, but wow, that has changed us. We've really stressed to them the importance of Jesus, as Dave said, going vertical. And the other thing that we thought was huge is teaching them how to handle conflict. And they have watched us do that. It's always tricky if we allow our kids to watch us, you know, handle conflict. And we were kind of strategic in the ways that we let them watch or the things we let them watch us. And we were also careful not to let them see us attack each other. We stopped doing that. Because we can tend to attack each other with our words instead of attacking the problem. So those are just some of the things that we did. But of course, you know, they have their own story and they're all the things to deal with themselves.
Yeah. Well, so y'all are also the hosts of Family Life Today, the Family Life's nationally syndicated radio program. So why are you all so passionate about marriage and family? I mean, this is your life's work.
Yeah. Well, it's so funny because we've always, since that prayer we both prayed, I think that's the key, man. You lay everything before Jesus and surrender, and that's a hard thing to do. You can't do it unless you know that God is good, and He is good. And so on our honeymoon night, before we got into our bed, we got on our knees, and our prayer was, God, we're not asking you for a good marriage. We're asking you for a great marriage that will impact the world for your kingdom. We had no idea that God would answer that prayer. Mm-hmm. And that part of that journey was going through some real valleys, because everybody does in a marriage. And so for us, we've seen legacies important for us. Family's important to us. God created marriage before He created the church. And so that's a vision that God has, is for a flourishing family. So when you look at the culture today of what's the attack on the family and marriage, it shouldn't surprise us, because there's always been an attack on the family, just like there was an attack on Adam and Eve. And we're passionate about that. We're passionate for marriages to feel equipped, for parents to feel like, how do I do this when I feel like I'm failing as a parent? So that's kind of our gig. We love this stuff.
And, you know, we're still pretty amazed that God uses broken pots like us.
Yes.
You know, when we struggled in our first year, and then we struggled. Every marriage struggles, but when we almost ended it at year 10, we just thought God can't use us. And now we realize God loves to use the broken parts of our story, and the pain becomes our platform. And when we speak around the country or write books or do the podcast, the things that people connect most with are the struggle and Jesus meeting them and us in the struggle. So it isn't hide the struggle. You know, it's like actually share the struggle, because God is in the middle of that weakness, and in our weakness, his strength is revealed. And so we become sort of the couple that knows we're not just real, we're raw. I mean, we just share it all, and we don't cover it up. And at the same time, we say, there's a Jesus, there's a God that meets you right where you are, and he can bring victory. He can bring beauty out of those ashes. You just got to cling, and you got to hold on, and you got to fight for your marriage, because it's worth it.
You've mentioned that you all are featured speakers at Family Life's Weekend to Remember Marriage Getaways, and you've hosted your own marriage conferences across the country. And we've talked about this just briefly, like we all struggle. You mentioned isolation and all of those things, but is there something that you have, you know, over all these years have really pinpointed, like this is the number one struggle most marriages deal with?
I mean, there's obviously a lot. The one that seems to come up the most, Ann already mentioned, is every couple knows how to have conflict. Very few know how to resolve conflict. I mean, it's true in any relationship, whether it's parenting, your neighbor, a locker room, the workplace, your neighborhood, it doesn't matter. When you get around people, eventually conflict happens. You know, we're selfish and we see things our way. We live in a world that we can watch it every day on the news. And so conflict's normal. I mean, that's going to happen. But when it happens, what do we do? How do we get to a place of resolution and even maybe possibly forgiveness? And so when we speak around the country, we do our own vertical marriage weekends. I'll tell you what, that talk is the one that people light up on, because there's anger that they don't know how to deal with. Where's anger even come from? I always say we have an extension cord wrapped around us, and we got to find out where that anger is plugged into, because it may be right here, but it's probably somewhere in your past, whether it's this week or month or 10 years ago. That you've never really processed. Family of origin luggage, we call it, we bring into marriage. We all show up with bags on our wedding day, and you know, you look at your spouse, you're like, we don't bring bags. Oh, yeah, you do. You bring them. I bring them. They're coming with you. And if you don't resolve and work through that with God healing, it's going to be in your marriage. And so forgiveness, obviously, is a huge piece of God building oneness. Because if you don't forgive and you don't get to resolution, you will drift toward isolation. And next thing you know, you'll find yourself separated.
And I think most couples, they just... this is my pet peeve. Like, we go through all these years of schooling and training and education to learn a vocation, but how many years do we spend learning how to have a great marriage? When this is like the most important relationship we're going to have on this earth besides Jesus. And so we generally copy what our parents did. And we don't know what to do, so we just, it's our default. We do and act the way our parents acted when it comes to, especially in terms of any kind of conflict. And so the first year that we got married, you know, Dave's has this family, this brokenness of his family would just withdraw because of alcohol. And my family, I have a lot of sexual abuse in my background, but my family also just got into it. And so we have this huge fight our first year of marriage. And Dave gets up and he leaves the room.
Because that's what I do.
He's a withdrawer. I'm like, I don't know what he's doing. And so I am shocked by it. So I yell at him as he's walking out the room, come back here and fight me like a man, you chicken. So it's like, there we were. That's how it started. And I didn't know. I thought, well, this is how you resolve it the way I do. This is how my parents did. And Dave did exactly what his parents did. They just leave.
Yeah.
And so most of us have no idea how to do that or what to do. So we've been pretty intentional. And it's been hard, too, because there was a time that we had carried this resentment toward one another. And we had to figure out how to resolve that. So there's some deep issues, but I think it's one of the greatest gifts we can give our kids of how to handle conflict well with Jesus in the middle of that.
Yeah, Absolutely. Gosh, I'm thinking I'm the one that withdraws, and then my husband is the one that's like, let's talk this through. And so I'm just thinking about how much our children are learning from us, but I'm also just thinking about how much is really at stake. You know, I come from a divorced home. I'm sure many listeners have come from a divorced home or separated home, and or witnessed their parents, you know, having conflict that was really unhealthy. And so there's lots of different backgrounds that are tuning in, but I'm just thinking, when we have a healthy marriage that lasts for generations, it really is going to change. It changes everything for generations. And it's so beautiful to think that our actions and our commitment and our dedication to marriage really does have an impact that is greater than even ourselves. And so you all have just started, and you're now part of the Art of Marriage, which is a transformative small group resource designed to help couples explore new levels of intimacy, communication, and connection with their spouse. And so I'm excited about this project. I know you all are, so I'd love to hear more about it.
Yeah, well, the original Art of Marriage from Family Life came out, I think, 15 years ago. We were actually in it. And honestly, when they came to interview us and shoot a video for the project, we were like, what is this? What is the Art of Marriage? We didn't even know what it was. We end up telling our 10-year anniversary story, which is the story where, you know, we almost lost our marriage and how God saved it. That ends up being like a staple in the middle of the second session of the 6-session video series. Well, it's been 15 years, and it was time to reimagine it or refresh it. And so this is the same but completely different. It's still called the Art of Marriage, which means multiple teachers. So it isn't just one couple or one. It's a group of older, younger, diversity in all kinds of areas. There's art involved. So there's some slam poetry and some drama skits. I mean, it's creative, but it literally looks at 6 Hebrew and Greek words about marriage and love and says, okay, what does God say about the first one's hesed? Hesed love is resilient covenant love that goes the distance. What you were just talking about, you know, not quitting when the stakes are that high, and we almost quit. And now we literally think about legacy all the time because we stayed in there. God met us. God saved it. And now we have a legacy that can change the legacy I was handed of adultery and divorce is not the legacy we passed on. And so Art of Marriage hits that. I mean, we get into sexual love as well. It gets sort of every area, but it's shot in such a way that you can sit down as a couple, or better yet, bring a few couples over to your house, even 10 or 20 if you want, and watch it together. It's about a 25-minute session, and then you have a workbook, a his workbook and a her workbook, and then you can have a discussion with your neighbors or friends or church people around your TV and talk about different concepts. And again, like Ann said earlier, when you let God use you to impact other marriages, your marriage is enhanced as well. So it's a great tool for not only your own marriage, but to impact your own neighborhood for the kingdom of God.
I have a little litmus test because our kids are all in their 30s now. But, you know, it's kind of like, what will they think? Will they think this is the dumbest thing?
Yeah.
Or will they think, wow, this is good? We haven't seen it. It's pretty new out. They haven't seen all of it, but they would love it, I think, because I like that generally there's some individual teaching, but generally it's couples speaking. So you're having both views, the husband's view and the wife's view. They're very real and very honest. And so if you're thinking your neighbors are going to think, oh, this is perfect Christian couple. No, they're super real. They get into the stuff that we're all dealing with. And I mean, I think you could be proud if you think, who could I invite? If you ask some people, we went through this. I remember one time thinking, who could I invite to do this? They're all going to say no. Here's what I think. They're all going to say no. But it's crazy when you say, hey, we're doing this video curriculum on marriage. Would you guys be interested in just doing it for 6 weeks with us? I think you'll be amazed because there's not much out there that it has a biblical viewpoint that's very authentic, that gives us hope in the gospel. I think couples are going to love it. And you can go as deep as you want in it. You know, you can keep it up here. But if you want to go deep into it, I think it's a great tool.
Family Life, in partnership with Right Now Media, has assembled a compelling and diverse cast of artists, teachers, speakers, pastors, poets, biblical experts, and just simple real-life couples, which you all mentioned. So would you give us maybe, like, who are some of the featured couples that we would see and hear their stories?
Who's in there besides Dave and Ann Wilson? a friend of ours, Derwin Gray, is a pastor in North Carolina.
He's been on the podcast. Yeah,
I was gonna say we've had him on.
They are awesome.
They are awesome. JD Greer, pastor of Summit Church. He and his wife.
A lot of people know JD. A lot of people don't know his wife, and she is super sharp. They're great.
Yeah, and some of the classics that were in the first one, Dennis and Barbara Rainey, who's the original founder and president of Family Life. They're in there. Bob Lapine, who was the co-host of Family Life Today before we ended up taking his spot as he retired. Bob's in there as well. I'm trying to think of...
There's a lot.
Yeah, there's about... I mean, Julie Slattery's in there. I don't know if you've had on. Julie as Java with Julie. She's one of the best in the country. Rachel, you got to have her on the area of sexuality. She is amazing. Yeah, I mean, it's just well done. It was put together by Brian Goins, who's on staff of Family Life. He and his buddy, his Ed, put the whole thing together. And again, like I said, it's older, younger. And like Ann said, the test is, would our 30-year-olds like it? Our kids.
And 20-year-olds.
And they really did. And 40-year-olds. Yeah, it isn't just a bunch of old people sitting around talking about marriage. It's all the above.
I remember when my husband and I first got engaged, we did Marriage on the Rock. Have you all ever done that Bible study? It was years and years ago. But I think when I'm just thinking of your all's study and this It could be for newlyweds. It could be for engaged couples. It could be for people that have been married for 50 years. Like, it doesn't matter, does it? How long that you've been with your significant other? It just, you can always connect and learn something new. Do you think?
Exactly, and I think too. There's so many blended families as well. I talk to so many couples that have gone through divorce and they feel like they're disqualified. Like, well, I'm disqualified. No, you're not. You have probably learned more than most of us because you've gone through some real pain and struggle. And that's exactly where God wants to meet us in the midst of that. So for you to say, hey, we're going to do this. We've struggled. We've both had a hard time in past relationships, past marriages. But we feel like we want to really put some emphasis and help other couples now the way that we've needed help in the years. We all need this. Every single couple can benefit from going through this kind of curriculum.
I'd love to, you know, for those just being mindful of those listening right now that are just in the midst of a really tough marriage, maybe even on the brink of separation or divorce right now. How would you encourage them today if they were feeling especially hopeless?
I mean, one of my first thoughts is you need community. You need somebody that knows your struggle. So tell a guy. If you're a husband, tell another guy. Same for the wife, tell another woman. And as a couple.
But I would add that a little twist. A person that loves Jesus.
Right.
Because, I mean, you could share your struggle with your friend and say, my husband's an idiot. And
they're going to say, leave.
Yeah, they're going to say, well, I told you not to marry him because I thought the same thing and you should just leave. But to have somebody who has a biblical concept that knows Jesus that says, oh, man, I get it. It's so hard. Tell me more of what you're feeling. And then she can say, let's pray through this. I have a friend. We used to walk probably 5 days a week in our neighborhood. She's my best friend. It was therapy, man. We would talk. We would complain about our marriages. We would talk great about our marriages. But then we would encourage each other like, man, I don't think it's helping you to go there in your head constantly. Like, let's take the thoughts captive and figure out how to do that. And when you're struggling, call me and I'll pray for you. And when I'm struggling, I'll call you and you can pray for me. That friend is critical as you walk through these things.
Yeah, and obviously we're, you know, when we say community, that could be a counselor.
Yeah, therapist.
That you sit down with. I know a lot of guys often say, I'm not going. Let me tell you, you need to go. It's, and that'd be true for a woman as well, but humble yourself and say, we need help. We're not gonna make it through without a trained Christian therapist who can dig in and say, here's something you're not seeing that can save your marriage. So,
and if your spouse doesn't go, you go. Yeah. Go alone, because you're going to get help for yourself. I think our struggle was, I thought Dave was the whole problem, and I never looked at myself and the parts that I was attributing to. I'm writing a book right now to women. It's going to be called something like How to Speak Life to Your Husband When All You Want to Do Is Yell at Him. And so I spent years trying to change Dave by nagging him, critiquing him. I didn't compliment him because I thought he didn't need it, because everybody's like, oh, Dave, you're amazing at the church. So like, I'm not going to do that too. So anyway, I've really had this journey that I've gone through of learning the power of life and death is in our tongues, is what scripture says. And we have a lot of influence and power as women to make our homes a place where our kids and our spouse, they want to run to our homes. But for those that are struggling, man, we get it. We have been there. And it's easy to lose hope that anything will ever change. But Jesus can, he is our hope. And he can provide ways in which he can help. And he'll help.
Love the thought of that. It almost makes me teary. Like, mm-hmm. I want my home and where I am for my husband to want to be, and yeah. my children to want to be. And what a beautiful thought, what a beautiful goal that I pray is our reality. And so, you know, we talked about the impact and generations, and I just wonder if there's anything else y'all have to say on that. What impact do you hope the Art of Marriage will have on couples, like immediately and long-term?
I mean, our hope is that it doesn't just change a marriage, it changes a community. Because, you know, we often, even when we start a marriage weekend with couples, we try to help them understand God doesn't just want to change your marriage for you.
Yeah,
he wants to change others through your marriage. It's the tool that God's given us, not only to make us more like Jesus, because marriage is hard and your wife and husband, you know, they say things and see things, but those are gifts because they're sharpening us to become like Christ. And then when God does a work in us, he wants to do it now through us. It isn't like we're the end goal. It's like, no, we just become part of his plan. They say, I placed you in a neighborhood or an apartment building or a workplace or on sports fields with other families when your kids are playing sports. It isn't just about you. It's like, man, if I've blessed you, it's rarely with you in mind. It's like, I want to be a blessing to others through you. And so that's sort of our hope, is that God would meet couples through the Art of Marriage, individually, that couple, and then they get a vision. And the last session is about that, about mission. What's the mission of your marriage? And so as they finish that last session, I hope they turn it off, have a discussion, and say, how are we going to let God use us? We are missionaries as marriage partners. So let's go, you know, in our workplace, in our church, in our city, in our neighborhood. God set us as a city set on a hill, strategically placed us. Let's let him use us. And I'll tell you what, when you see God use your marriage, it transforms your marriage, just to be like, wow, look at what God's doing, not just in us, but now through us.
And then I think immediately, you know what I think happens as you go through this? I think walls come down. Like, there's a lot of laughter in the Art of Marriage as we go through it. And there's something about laughter that helps break down some walls and defensiveness. And then what I think it does is, because some of our walls come down, we can just start having some conversations that maybe we haven't had in years. Just because we get lazy. And I don't know about a lot of you, but especially when my kids were little, I wanted to veg in front of the TV and just have a little me time.
Or just go to the bathroom for a half hour to hide.
Yes. And so just to have a conversation, it could be one question that you ask tonight. It's amazing that how the intimacy, the emotional intimacy, can come back into the picture. And then you have these little pockets of hope that like, oh yeah, I remember you. I like you. I love you. And sometimes just those daily things are just a good reminder and laughter. Those are some of the immediate benefits from it. Dave really hit a lot of the long terms, which are incredible.
Well, and I know you mentioned it, Anne, but I just am thinking there are, it's very possible that so many people listening, their spouse is not going to be on board with this.
Yes.
You know, they just aren't. They're not in the same place with the Lord. They're right. They don't have the same goals. They're just not ready, maybe. And so would you say that this would be okay to do all on your own?
Yes. I mean, if your spouse, I would say to your spouse, just give it 1 week. Just watch it when it's not very long. You know, you could just put it up on your TV and it's digital. So you could just watch, just give it a chance. And if not, like, hey, let's just see. And you could be a partner. Let's just see if this thing's ridiculous or it's dumb or maybe it's, you know, maybe we'll get something out of it. You could even say to your spouse, and if you don't want to talk about it afterwards, that's okay. But maybe let's just watch the first one. And then if they say no, you tried. And so, yes, I would watch it alone or with a girlfriend. Get some girlfriends whose spouse or guys that whose wife doesn't want to watch it and go through it just with a group of women. That would be fun.
Guys could do it too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's really good. Well, I I've loved this conversation and it's already just even helped me within my own marriage. And I know that it will, everybody listening as well. And so we all need to go and get a copy of this and do it alone or with our spouse or with a small group. Any of those ways I think would be really beneficial. So as we start to come to a close, I've been asking all of my guests just more of a fun question. What is something that you are loving right now? It can be anything.
I'm curious to see what you're going to say on this.
What am I loving? Playing guitar in my son's worship band at church. That is a joy. I mean, I've always been a musician since I was a little kid. And, you know, when we started our church, I was, you know, in the band then. And now that I'm not at our church, I miss that. But my son has started a church and, you know, a lot of times pastors have to pay their musicians, and he realized, oh, I can get a free one with dad.
But you're a really good musician.
So I'm always the oldest guy on the stage, but they enjoy me being there too, and I love rocking out to incredible, powerful worship music, and that's one of the things I'm enjoying right now.
It's fun. I am besides a lot of the things we do with traveling and speaking, which are all fun, but one of the things I'm doing right now that's super fun for me is I've started a women's ministry right in our area. And so I've started it with about four other young, they're like, when I say young, like 30s, women who are leaders, and they're right. Like everybody has a baby every year. It feels like somebody's difference having a baby. But sometimes we're in that phase of life where we feel like, does God remember who I am? And all the dreams that I had, you know, are those on the shelf? And so there's something about pulling women together and reminding them of who God is and who they are and what their identity is in Christ. I'm kind of that person that we're so busy, but I'm also thinking, we should do this regionally. I should bring all the pastors' wives together and we should do this conference because we all need the encouragement. There's something about women being together. I don't think we understand and realize the power and the influence that we have in the world, in our communities, but especially in our own little pockets of our world and our homes. That to me is so fun. And so to remind women who feel like I can't do anything, like, yes, you can. God has so much for you. That's really one of my greatest joys right now.
I have a group of women that we just have a weekly Bible study, and we just ended the semester and went out to lunch afterwards. And the majority of the women are honestly, well, I'm kind of in the middle. There's a group that's quite a bit older than me. And then there's a group that just has all the newborns, but it has been such a gift. And we just commented yesterday this sense of community. I can just tell everybody's getting closer and closer each time we meet. And it's just so beautiful to be a part of.
I always say to women, you will benefit and your life will be rich if you have a woman in front of you. You've heard this before, a woman beside you. That's like your friend. A woman in front of you is that person that's like mentoring you, or you're just watching and you're thinking, I want to live like that. And somebody behind you, because we all have someone younger than us or younger spiritually that's looking to us. And that is super fulfilling. And it's also very biblical.
Absolutely. Well, speaking of the Bible, and this is the other closing question that I've been asking all of my guests, is there a biblical concept of love on this topic of marriage that you would want to encourage us with as we close?
I mean, my first thought is Jesus and Peter. When Peter denied him three times, and Jesus restores him and forgives him. I mean, I don't know why it just hit me when you said that, but I thought that picture of a God who, first of all, told him he would, knew he would, even though Peter thought, I'm not going to deny him. And then when Peter falls and fails and thinks he's done, how Jesus sees him on the lake shore and, you know, restores him, not only to say, I love you and I forgive you, but I send you to do ministry, you know, to feed my sheep. And so that's just such a beautiful picture and a great reminder. That's who God is. Not that he winks or, you know, dismisses our sin. No, sin's a big deal. But he forgives us and we don't deserve it. And if we would live that out, which is the gospel, that we are worthy in Christ because of who he is, not because of who we are, because of what he did on the cross for us. If we live that out in our marriages, that's the gospel. And when that is seen by our neighbors, this spouse doesn't deserve to be loved for what they did, yet they're loved. I think our neighbors are drawn to that like a magnet, like that's what we want. And they don't really even know. We're looking at God's love being lived out by two human people who can't do it apart from the resurrection, Holy Spirit power of God in their lives, to do what they can't do, to forgive when things are unforgivable. And yet Jesus did it, modeled it for us and for Peter. And so that encourages me to live that out in his power.
I guess mine's a little similar. I'm like, my favorite verses in the Bible are Romans 12, 1 and 2. But Jesus was our sacrifice. We all know that in the Old Testament, they made animal sacrifices. That was just a way of life. They continually saw that sacrifice of an animal giving its lifeblood up, and then that blood would cover the sins of the people. But when Jesus died, then his sacrifice removed our sin. And so then when you look at Romans 12, 1, and Paul's talking about, I urge you, brothers and sisters, to basically lay your lives on the altar of God, which is your spiritual act of service. Like, this has changed my life, where every single day before I get out of bed, I'm like, Lord, this is what love looks like. You showed me and represented that love. I'm going to now lay my life on the altar to you. Give me your thoughts. Let me have your eyes. Give me your ears. Let me have your tongue so that I can see people the way you do and say the things you would say and do the things you would do. That is not in me naturally. My flesh does not do that. And so to lay my life down is that's that spiritual service. And I love then what happens when Paul says, and then in verse 2, he says, and don't be conformed by this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. To me, those go together. Jesus died for us. Now we, every day, we're dying to ourselves. And then every single one of us, we are being discipled by the culture every single day as we live in it. And so if we aren't have our eyes fixed on Jesus, we will be conformed to the world. But he wants to transform our thoughts and our minds. I think that's what saves my life and my marriage, is I used to let my thoughts go crazy. When it says take your thoughts captive, mine were not captive. They were running around like wild beasts around the house. And so now when I start thinking negatively about Dave, or I start becoming incredibly fearful about my kids, I take the thought captive, I lay it on the altar as with my body. I'm like, Lord, I can't. I need your wisdom. I need your, I give it to you, and help me not to let that thought go rampant. But I give it to you so that you can transform it into what you want it to be.
Such beautiful truth. Thank you both. I know I want to stay connected with you. I'm sure listeners are going to want to stay connected with you and get these resources. So tell us how we can best do that.
I mean, you can always find us at familylife.com, and you can get The Art of Marriage there. You can get Vertical Marriage, Small Group, whatever you want there. But if you need to reach out to us personally, Dave Ann Wilson is social media, Dave Ann Wilson. There's no E in Ann. It's just A-N-N, Dave Ann Wilson. One word. We can respond. You know, social media is a wonderful thing. You can find us there, and we have a YouTube channel, and our videos and messages are there as well, Dave Ann Wilson.
Wonderful. Well, I would love for you just to pray us out, just for those that are married, those that aren't, everybody, just as we maybe just pray for our spouses and pray for whatever state the marriage is in today.
Father, thank you for Rachel. And Lord, I want to thank you for every single listener that's even been a part of this conversation. Father, I pray a blessing for them. And Lord, I know it's, you know exactly where we are, Lord. You know if we're struggling, you know if we have babies around us. You know when we feel alone, when we feel heartbroken. And Jesus, you've never left us. You're always with us. That's one of the things I love about Scripture, that every time someone calls upon your name, it says you hear them. So, Lord, I pray that in our aloneness or even in our fullness, Lord, that we would sense that people, we would all sense how close you are. It says you rejoice over us with dancing and singing. And Father, sometimes the enemy has our thoughts that we feel like we're failing in all areas, and our marriage is failing, and our kids are failing, and we are failing as moms, or we just are alone. But Lord, I pray that you would take those thoughts and that you remind us that you are God who sees, you're the God who hears, you're the God who envelops us in your love. Help us to know how to do this. And Lord, help us to find a friend that will encourage us. Help us to be that friend that will encourage our sister. Father, for our marriages, will you help us? Give us wisdom to know how to find a therapist, or like, Lord, who we could invite to do a small group like The Art of Marriage. And Lord, we can't do anything apart from you. So I pray that you would empower us. And Lord, as women, I pray that you would remind us that we have now been given your authority. Help us to take our homes back to create havens instead of creating chaos, which can feel like so often. And may you be the one, Lord, who guides us, who leads us, and who reigns in our homes. And I pray for our children that they would call upon your name, and our legacy would be one that follows you all the days of our lives. We love you, Jesus, and we pray in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you all so much for being my guest. What a blessing you are, and I just pray blessings over everyone listening today.
You too.
Thanks. Rachel.
Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode with Dave and Ann Wilson. We pray that today encouraged and equipped you in your own marriage. If you're interested in show notes, you can head on over to @ Rachel Adams Author on Instagram or Facebook. I'd love to connect with you there. I'd also love to connect with you over on rachelkadams.com. There you can subscribe to receive your weekly Love Offering newsletter, and all of this information can go straight to your inbox each week. You can also listen to previous podcast episodes, you can read the blog series, and you can download free resources like the 31-day Love Offering Calendar to help you live out this love offering message. Again, you can find that at rachelkadams.com/free. Next week, my guest is Sharaya Rush. She is on the show talking about how we can keep our hearts tender through her book, Courageously Soft. I can't wait to chat with you again then, but until then, I hope you have a terrific week. And as always, remember to lead with love.